happened again.
Oh, a thing happened again.
We're here. Hi, BC WrestlePod fam, and all people brought to us by the weird Lovecraftian algorithm that dragged you here. We really appreciate that. Please keep praying to it. You have found yourself at the beginning of another Biconics Wrestling Podcast, Just Three Gents Dynamite Review. That's a mouthful. But you're joined here by, as you can see, two of the three gents, because our third gent is off beautifying his community. I don't know.
Two-third gents? Is that a thing? Yes.
Two-third gents. That gets into different territory that we shouldn't get into. That was litigated in the 1800s. But we have the professor. We have myself, JBL. And we are here to basically talk your ear off for 3.5 to 5 hours about an hour and a half to 2 hour long show. Here we are reviewing and giving our opinions on AEW Dynamite from the 27th of March, 2024.
I feel like we could do a 4 hour AEW Dynamite, just ramble and just go.
We'll call it Tangent. AEW Tangent.
There you go. That's a podcast. Which,
lovely, lovely podcast. We might do that audio wise. I actually think that might be kind of fun to do. However, before we get too far along with that, if this is your first time joining us, welcome. You're in for a ride. Both of us are crazy, amazing improvisers that will just talk your ear off. But if you wanted to know, we're going to be giving our opinions on this, going through the show itself. And if you like what you see here, subscribe to the channel here on YouTube that you found somehow. You can always click that alert bell to get notifications about all our different content. We review and talk about pretty much every show out there about wrestling, except for Japan, which is hard to get to. Sometimes it's a different time zone. No. Don't hate us that way. You can also check us out on most social media platforms at BC WrestlePod. You can interact with us there. Drop a comment in this video. You could also join our Patreon. We're coming up with tiers for it. It's gonna happen, and you're gonna be able to watch us with some live watch-alongs, some in-depth interviews, and maybe that cool Tangent podcast we just talked about. Bringing that back around. That's gonna be a thing.
Really good idea, I think.
I think it's gonna be perfect. It's a great paid-for exclusive. But finally, if that isn't enough for you, if you really want to get to know who we are, at least partially, May 18th and 19th, the East Coast contingent and Mikey are going to be at New Jersey WrestleCon, tabling, being there, meeting our faves like Abaddon, and hopefully just saying hi to all of our fan. We love you so much, Jeremy. You're great. You're amazing. Fan is good. And you can always just come out and give us a handshake, a hug, something else. We'd love to hear from you. I think that covers everything, Professor. Am I missing anything else on the docket?
That's a lot of stuff. I mean, that sounds efficient. I feel like that's where we need to be. Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, I know WrestleMania weekend's coming up, so watch out for some live streams on that, too. It's going to be insane.
The next 3 weeks, there's something like 10 events that we're just trying to jump on. It's going to be wild.
The whole of WrestleDom, every one of us reviews it, loves it, enjoys it, is going to be busy. Do not contact us. Just find us online. Drop comments. And our partners are going to be dropping little links and stuff to say, dinner's ready or we miss you. My 6-year-old's already ready to tell me that she doesn't remember who I am. So.
Those will be the polite ones. We'll read the not polite ones on Patreon.
Keep them blue. All right. But we jump in tonight, Professor. I knew it was going to be setting a tone early with this first match. This entire night was set by this because we had a dream match 7 years in the making as Will Ospreay takes on Katsuyori Shibata for the first time on American soil. And so the first time since Will Ospreay was a junior heavyweight. This is heavyweight versus heavyweight, and both men are very different. This is one of those ones where I probably didn't take as many notes as I wanted to. I don't know about you. Like, I was just invested from moment one.
This whole night, I didn't take as many notes as I wanted to because I was watching these matches and going back and seeing things and, oh, I should write that down sort of stuff. So I'm trying to do a lot of it through my brain and then the sparse notes that I have. But, oh, my God, this match was incredible. In my opinion, I thought they set the bar so high that I was going to be disinterested for 90 minutes after. Not the case, but we'll get there as we go. Will Ospreay doing that John Woo dropkick from halfway across the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Just poof, and then pausing time to land. Like, oh my God. Will Ospreay does it in this way that it's beautiful and fluid, but Shibata does it in a way that's like, you're going to die. Like,
brutal.
It's just so
brutal.
incredible watching the two of them work.
They worked through almost every style of wrestling in this, starting with mat wrestling and chain wrestling, which they both were amazing at. Mm-hmm. They took care of each other because you see Ospreay working with the fact that Shibata has had this major head injury and so can take punishment, but also Ospreay kept it safe. And then on top of that, Shibata is not holding back. You could see how like overwhelmingly jazzed he was to work with a guy who knows Japanese strong style so can take it snugger than most. These two had fun.
Yeah, they had a blast. And some of the jokes they had for themselves, like they put in just for themselves, was fantastic. Ospreay hits Shibata 5 times in the face, and then Shibata hits him once. Brr. Shiver. And he falls it down. I was like, oh my God, that's amazing.
The PK miss into the kip up, which then yes. He does a roundabout enziguri.
You can go on and on and on about the fluidity and what they were doing in this match. It was so much fun. It was just a blast to watch. They went outside of the ring. There was one moment I got nervous for Shibata. Off the top rope. Yeah, there was a top rope, something. Shibata came down, kind of whiplashed the back of his head and curled up quickly. And I was like, oh God, no.
Well, the ending to this, was even more so because we look like we're going for Stormbreaker. He pulls him up into a Tiger Driver 99 or 96. And I'm sitting there going, you've seen Kenny Omega take this recently on his head. Is he going to drop him on his head again? No, it's not Takeshita. We're not trying to kill him. So obviously he protects Shibata, puts it like a power bomb, and ends the match. Again, the ability of Will Ospreay as the greatest wrestler of his generation right now to take care of Shibata was ridiculous.
It was incredible. I feel like I keep having a short list of matches of the year, like every time I come on here. And it's funny, it's all one promotion, not another promotion.
It's all one wrestler too, involved in all of them.
It's been one wrestler over and over again. So I'm wondering if we're going to have like the best of Will Ospreay and then the matches of the year. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think that might be what that turned into. But this was incredible. We were talking about this last week where it was sort of like if I was to show someone a wrestling match, like I've never seen it before, what do I need to watch? I wouldn't show them one match. I'd show them a series of matches, and stuff like this is what would be there. This was a blast to watch.
So good. And honestly, this was my match of the night. Even starting out, this was my match of the night. Even with the main event. And I thought at the beginning, like as you did, I'm like, this should have been the main event. You needed this to be, like, that's how good it was. We'll get to later why the main event worked where it was and why it was so good. But
that was my thought too. Like all of a sudden AEW Dynamite and Ospreay's walking out, and you have that moment of like, oh, we're starting with this.
Well, there's a reason for that, and I have a conspiracy theory, and I'm gonna bring it to you as the other John here.
Full Pepe Silva.
When your competition goes low, you go high. You look back at the WCW-WWE rivalry, where WWE was going very family-friendly, very superhero-y. So WCW said, we're going to go edgy, and we're going to go that. Start that kind of route with the NWO. Now we have WWE going full Attitude Era, allowing bigger stars to swear, really pumping those promos, working these long segments that are taking stuff away from the women's matches. So what does AEW do with this one? We're going to show you the gritty, amazing wrestling, barely any promos, no in-ring promos. We're going to let the product speak for itself, not the acting, because we're going to define ourselves as the show for people that enjoy the product.
I really hope that's true, and I hope creative's thinking that way. Because if that's the case, then that's long-term, that might work.
it gives you a difference to draw people and say, well, you know, because the last year has been like they're kind of the same, and they're really doing the same thing back to back. AEW worked best when it was his own product. This is a way to do it. It's not perfect, but it's definitely different.
I do love it. I don't know. I mean, this format probably won't stick because they're touring, they're getting ready for Dynasty. Lessening the promos and playing to the strengths of those that had the promos made this whole episode work that much better. And nobody got stuck in the plateau of where we're going, what are we doing? Yeah, but I'm going to tangent. Well, I don't want to tangent. We'll save
you're not tangenting. Part. You're actually jumping right into the next part of this. We got to our first promo of the night as the EVPs are talking to Renee Paquette. And they asked first, where's Alex Marvez? That's a horrible joke. Please don't conjure him by saying his name. We don't need him anywhere. The creepy smile on Nicholas's face as he's trying to like sit there for too long.
Oh, my gosh.
And then the line to Renee, try smiling. I mean, you want Uzi evil people. You've got them now in the EPs. Yeah.
They do. They've gotten much better at the whole shawarmy, like, 80s executive thing and feel. They look like the bad guys from No Holds Barred. Like, they just look like bad guy record executives from the 80s, and it's working.
That would explain Nicholas's face. He's just going, Dookie!
If you get that reference, you're over 30. Yeah.
Or you did a lot of cocaine in the 80s. Anyways, we go from there. That's a quick one. I love that Renee at first is trying not to corpse, and then she really like just sell it back to him. She's perfect. I love her to death.
I wrote down Renee looking at the camera to give that wink or nod to the audience. Like, I loved that. That's just the poise to be like, and that happened. Like, that's so cool.
Now, before we get into the next match, one thing that did happen a lot, and I also didn't have the picture-in-picture, was as I experienced when I was at Elimination Chamber a couple of years ago, the Canadian crowd was rowdy in French, and I kind of didn't enjoy commentary calling out the fact they didn't understand what was being said and mocking them that way, because it wasn't in good faith. It wasn't in good fun. It was very much that, like, ha, we're smarter than you, dumb Canadians. And it was like, oh, come on, Taz. Even Excalibur got it in. It was a little weird.
Taz had a weird attitude the whole evening. He kind of barked at Shivani at one point.
Yeah.
Shivani, I don't even know what Shivani said. He said something, and Taz kind of got all pushy on it.
And he got quiet. Shivani got very quiet for a lot of this match, especially. He was not talking.
I don't know what was going on. If the crowd was getting to them, or there's something that we don't know about their time in Canada, but there was something underneath for sure, which was strange. But
pushback, people feeling that way, it was kind of sad. But we had our next match, which was the EVPs, our Young Bucks, taking on Private Party, and they brought up the fact that you know, in the first ever tag team title tournament, Private Party got a win over them in the semifinals as a smaller seed, and that kind of set the stage for Private Party having this chance that they actually might do this. And these two teams, the chemistry between them is evident. They worked so well together.
I did appreciate the promo before showing the history of, and the last time we saw these two tag team matches together. I kind of forgot how early 80s the Young Bucks were in watching that promo. I was like, my God, they've come so far. They're totally different now.
They really have.
It was a beautiful match. I thought there were no real miscues. There was one obvious three count that everyone ignored. Like, no, that wasn't three. That was
close.
Two.
It was very close. Like, I'm going to disagree with you with miscues, though, because the ending was a miscue, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, no, you're right. There was a... Did I take another one? Yeah. Oh, Nick landed on his tailbone on the outside, which looked scary. Mm-hmm. There was a moment there. I was like, oh, he's selling. And then he went to walk. Like, no, that's the coccyx. Be careful.
Well, and then they got Private Party back with the same thing, with a suplex onto the knees and landed so sharply in the tailbone. Like,
That avalanche neck wrecker thing always looks amazing and horrifying at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like you said, lots of great spots in there. I wrote, there it is, strange sequence at the end. A little head scratching is exactly what I
do. You mean Nicholas slipping out of nowhere and not pulling off the sides of his EVP trigger?
Wait, what? Yeah.
Yeah. Literally just falling. Like, he fell flat on his face. Like, there were no tacks in his shoes. There was no like slippery part of the ring. Did he slip on his like silk pants or something? I couldn't tell.
There was another slip earlier in the match too. He went to do something, went and then they pivoted into something else. I can't remember what it was.
I have no ideas. I will say, though, listening to the Bucks theme song now, having Mercedes Moné in the company, I'm surprised they're not pushing for the same thing to have EVP chanted like CEO. So now they become the power brokers of the thing, because it's begging for it at this point.
Every single abbreviation must be chanted. It doesn't matter what it is. AARP! Every single abbreviation needs
triple
to be chanted.
Triple A! Triple! Oh, wait, no, that's an actual company. Never mind. Don't want to do that.
That's actually really funny.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
That was a good joke. It was a good joke.
We'll have to check with Mikey, our writers, to make sure that he gets credit for that. Anyway, we move on from the EVPs. We get out of that thing. We have another backstage promo, and this wasn't terrible. I thought it was going to be. I'm still upset about it, but did it need to be on here? As we have a promo with Jericho and Hook with Renee. Jericho saying that he learned something about Hook and now he's here to answer all his questions. Stopping short of saying, I'll manage you. He says, I'll answer all your questions. And Hook says, I love that, but I also know who you are.
I thought that was a really cold, straight response. Like, yeah, but I know who you are. And Jericho just going, yeah. It's like, no, you don't understand. I know who you are. Like, oh my, it's warm here. Again, you're right. Every time it's Chris Jericho. Every time it's Chris Jericho on these promos, we're all kind of roll our eyes like, oh, what do we do? But I think that Hooker doesn't need Jericho right now.
Nope,
doesn't. Not at all. Jericho kind of needs to be in on something, and it's a little awkward. So I'm not sure exactly what they're trying to do.
Now, I also wrote something down here before we went to this promo. Was something terrible said, but again, this is the Canadian stuff by these wonderful announcers on our team. They were thrown to the remarkable and Canadian Renee Paquette. Like, did you need to, and very Canadian? Like,
I'm not sure what the, again, they were all a little, I don't even want to say spicy because spicy implies interesting and almost fun, aggressive. They were just kind of jerk-ish. For lack of a word that would get us demonetized.
They sounded like you don't frat boys.
Yeah, you don't need to act like that. That's
no.
So, I mean, maybe we'll find out someday, but they all just kind of had something underneath them. Like, do you not want to be in Quebec City? Like, what's going on?
Well, on top of this, like, and we'll get to this in the later match, during the main event, hearing Shivani and Don Callis interact with each other was also really weird.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that later. Like,
and Don Callis kind of stood up for the Canadians at one point. We were like, yeah, they're fine now. Like, I don't know. That was a trip.
It was a trip. What also was a trip, this was another amazing. We had back-to-back amazing matches as we had our four-way match to see who's going to be the new number one contender for the TBS title. And it was Willow, Nightingale, Chris Statlander, Sky Blue, and Anna Jay. And the first thing in my head is going, Anna Jay's here to take the pin. We know that's happening. That's why she's there. Second, she's coming out of the baby face tunnel. So we have three baby faces and a heel in this match. That's an odd dynamic to like try to make things work.
Sure.
I don't know.
And Chris and Willow tried to fix it by the end, but it still came off kind of awkward for sure. Because it's friends, but we're competing. But we're not. But we are. But meh.
But storyline.
Yeah. I think as far as women's matches go for 2024, this one's on my list currently, like things to rewatch and look at. There's some great moments in here. The internet's going to go, it's a spot fest. Well, yeah, but because there's about 60 seconds in there where they each nail something beautiful and we're moving through.
The one that scared me was Willow's backbreaker on Sky Blue, where her legs were long enough where she caught her in the back of the neck. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, that was scary. There was another. Do I have another? No, I don't really have notes because I was watching all
the reverse neckbreaker and the ropes was bad to Willow. Yes. That was terrible. Mm-hmm. Not terrible and bad, but terrible. It looked really, really horrible. Yeah. Also, I'll say this. Mercedes Moné was on commentary, and I think I'm biased because Toni Storm has set the bar so high for being on commentary. Mercedes wasn't bad, but I remember nothing from what she said. She was just kind of bland. Like, why was she there?
And we've accused them of this before. Like, Toni Storm goes on there, she holds her own with those four and kind of, or three, I'm sorry.
And they seem like four sometimes. It's the personality of Excalibur.
Can still jump on them and fight back a little bit and sort of banter and hold her own. When it's anyone else, they just kind of get drowned or disinterested. I mean, Don Callis for sure, the managers, whatever else. But particularly the women. They get behind there and it's like, I don't want to talk to you. I don't know how to talk to you. What do I even say to you? Because we know she has it on the mic. She can kill these promos and she does the film promos beautifully. She went out there and was just kind of meh.
And I wonder if it's because she's playing a baby face right now. It seems like a lot of the women, when they can play heels or have a defined character, they do better because they feel like they can be antagonistic. Whereas I wonder if someone got in her head or she's been trained to be like, when you're the baby face, don't antagonize Taz. Don't do these things. Like, don't go after people. And you should. She should be jumping down Taz's throat, telling him to shut
crush
the
hell
up. Well, I mean, that's a fantasy of his, but that's beside the point. It's tough.
Yeah, I thought this match was great. I had a lot of fun watching it. They were communicating well. Sky Blue trying to do the dual clothesline thing, and then just standing there like, what are you doing? And then crushing her and throwing her out of the ring for sure. And then we get to what happens at the end.
because we have the Dr. Bomb. Again, mm-hmm. Anna Jay takes the pin, as we thought would happen.
Which, yeah, you can, yeah.
Sad for her, but that's okay. I love that brought up that she was 59 and something. Like, she's really experienced in the ring now, which is nice, but...
You 59 and something, you're taking the pin.
There we are. That's what it is. You need to get to 60 and you would have been fine. That's the bar.
So close.
But out of nowhere, Willow is attacked by Julia Hart and then Sky Blue. She's fought off by the rest of the babyfaces, and Stokely's sitting there going, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening, after he's having basically O-faces the entire time as all of his clients are doing nuts things in the ring. And Mercedes is also there. It was kind of a muddled mess.
I'm so lost by Stokely and why Stokely's there. Sometimes it seems like it makes total sense to me, and sometimes I'm like, why are you here?
I did love at the beginning, because he is both of their managers, supposedly, that he came out with Willow, stopped halfway up the ramp, goes, I'll be back, runs backstage the little Stokely way, waits for Stat to come out, then comes out with Stat breathing heavily, like, I'm here, cute. I made it.
That's cute. Yeah, you know, I forgot about that. Yeah. I don't know.
He's there to breed dissension. It's not happening. And now with the whole Mercedes thing, it's going to be even more. And it's clustered because Willow's now the number one contender. So there's breeding dissension because someone isn't taking Stat's old title because Julia took it from Statlander. And so this is just trying to weave too many things into one segment. Oh, no, AEW gave the women one segment again. Yes, it was better because you've had other things and it's focused on now, but it's still one segment.
Right. It's still one segment. I just went back to the replay for sure. Willow throwing, I don't know who that was, onto the apron. That half suplex thing onto the apron looked
That was Sky Blue. She did the Death Valley Driver.
Death Valley, thank you. I'm forgetting the names and stuff. But everyone looked great in this match. So,
on any other night, this would have been my match of the night.
Sure. No, I agree. Yeah.
But we have to move on from that, though. Again. It wasn't a schmoz ending. That's good. We got the ending we needed and then a schmoz afterwards. We then cut backstage. Dustin Rhodes is getting a promo. He's been trying to get out to go be in Cody's corner at WrestleMania, but he's getting a match this week. I don't know what's going on here. And he also looks like he's put on a bunch of weight. Like he's bulked up again. I don't know what's going on.
I'm trying not to laugh at the face paint.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of, what are you doing? It's not even that. It's not bad either. It looks fine, but it's like, what's this gimmick?
You accentuate your jawline as you're bending down to Renee. So now, like, when you bend over, you see the bubble and like it's
the whole George Lucas neck thing. Yeah,
a little bit. Yeah, which is saying that he was like, I don't know if what he's bulking up for at this point. He doesn't need to bulk up, so who knows?
And then the Butcher comes out and they do a little bit of bad improv where they make the offers and they don't accept any of the offers.
I like that his thing had a
no, but he's like, cut off the onions. It's the musk. Don't eat onions. Like they're just not listening to each other. It felt like this was kind of an afterthought for both of them.
Opposed to the match they're going to get this week when they're doing a Canadian bunkhouse brawl.
I mean, yeah, afterthought's a thing. Yeah. I like seeing both of them. I think they could have put in a little more effort. I don't know. It's just kind of meh. Renee's face is just sort of, what are we doing?
Well, and I'm thrown off always by the Butcher's voice because that voice does not look like it comes out of that man.
No, you're right.
It's so bizarre.
It's sort of like it's the Butcher as a puppet and then this other voice comes out. I'm like, wait, what?
It's Musk.
So, you know, I don't hate it. I had heard something similar that Rhodes was trying to get out of here to go be elsewhere for obvious reasons, but I guess maybe not.
There was rumor that they were trying to have like that Avengers Endgame moment at WrestleMania where like Rock getting beat up by Rock and everyone else and everyone comes out to save Cody and be there with like on your left and Dustin was going to be there. But
how cool would that have been?
There's no way they'd share him. They're not going to get him out of his contract. He's still stuck there. So
how long is he there, though? He's been at AEW 5 years.
Yeah, he has, and he signed an extension to be there, so I have no idea. We'll have to see what happens, but we'll be with you there with you live, watching our live watch along. Who knows? He may make a cameo appearance. Who knows?
It would make sense. Fired? Is it worth breaking a contract to do that?
For his family and everything else? Yeah, I think so. When you don't have Dusty there, you got to have Dustin.
Yeah. And gold, and then I watched the whole Undertaker Gold Dust Hall of Fame thing as well, and if you haven't. Yeah. But anyway, carry on. Sorry.
All things you can find on YouTube, just like our lovely channel here at BC WrestlePod. We cut over now to another taped promo. A lot of taped promo stuff, but this one, again, as always, is perfect, short, to the point. Toni Storm in the backstage of AMC and talking to Ben Mankiewicz. And she is explaining that she really appreciates him and his style and how she has really extended her run there. I love they keep getting Ben Mankiewicz in to do this.
I love it.
He won't say the word tits.
So good.
Chin up, tits out. I won't say that.
I won't say that. I don't know what that means.
It's silliness, so much. But it broke up the night so well.
It was fun. No, I loved this. I loved this. This was out of... I wasn't expecting it. I haven't seen one of these before. I know there was another one not too long ago, but this is so much fun. That's hilarious.
They do such a good part with it. And like, she does barely anything to have to be there, and she still carries this title so well. I want more, and I want more extended parts of it. Just give it to me. Give it to me.
I want her to start doing movie quotes and like re-scenes of movies shot for shot with just her.
As she evolves through the black and white years, maybe she works her way up to like the 40s and then into the 50s. But like, she gets Technicolor at some point if she goes over a year.
Oh, can she go Judy Garland arc start rocking people with wire hangers and just destroying people? This would be so good.
I need her on a collector's plate, like you would get like from those late night infomercials, the Toni Storm collection. The Timeless Collection.
Oh, there's a lot of white people who would buy those.
Yeah.
And they'd be in kitchens with tchotchkes, and you'd have that little chicken one, and then you have the blue Danish one, and then you'd have a Toni Storm. It'd be so good. Yeah,
Toni Storm, you got the Luther Hummel figurine, you got, you know, the Precious Moments with Mariah May.
It's sort of like Dean Martin's classics, Best of Frank Sinatra, Toni Storm. Oh, look at this. Oh.
Why haven't we had a Dean Martin-style roast with Toni Storm yet?
Oh, that would be so good.
We're waiting for it. I'm hearing
the roast in general would be good.
Someone else here is definitely very happy. However, we can't stay on that. It was a short
one.
We have to move on because we... Okay. We're into the tag tournament. We're getting the next people that are going to be moving on to the next round. It's the best friends of Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta with Chuck Taylor, or Chucky T, against the Undisputed Kingdom with Roddy Strong. And you get the big entrances. You get that, like, ooh, this is going to be feeling bad for OC because Roddy's got his belt and all those things. The thing I took away from this match, Professor, was something that I think in the back of my lizard brain, my entire life of being a wrestling fan, I wondered why it was never done. Before the bell rings, Orange Cassidy ducks under the ropes, sidles over to Matt Taven, and pops him in the face. And then they start. And I'm like, that's perfect. Just brilliant.
And but like, does it so cool and nonchalant? Like, hang on, one second. Brr!
One fluid motion. And I'm just sitting there going, I didn't know I needed that in a tag team match. I didn't know I missed it. That is brilliant.
It was so funny. We had a discussion here a few months back about purists, there's no punches in wrestling anymore. Orange Cassidy's throwing some beautiful punches, that sort of undersliding thing and downward thing, like looking really good. I thought this match was fun. I wanted a little more out of it at times. After we got back from commercial break, which is usually the halfway of the thing, it really kicked off. This thing was flying after that. I think they were a little measured getting into it and calling some spots and whatnot. Commentary was okay for this one. I remember
they were very missed for me. They just did not add anything to it overall.
Yeah, the whole night really was sort of just C+ commentary, nothing interesting, but nothing that came out to me like you missed that or whatever else.
I could have turned it off, honestly. It would have been fine.
I'm wondering, I might start doing that old school sports thing where you turn it off and you kind of watch somebody else do it or listen to somebody else. The DDT sequence was wild. That double DDT sequence was just so fluid. I don't know how they do that. Everyone seems to know how to do that so beautifully.
I mean, it's innate knowledge of your body and air. I'm assuming it's got to be the big thing.
I guess so, yeah.
I felt for Matt Taven, though, on that apron pile driver. That looked like he legit got hurt.
Looked really painful. I'll try and find that on my replay right now. That looks scary. What is a proton pack? I've never seen that before.
You've never seen Ghostbusters?
I've seen a proton pack. I just saw the new one too. Somewhere. But I've never seen that move. Like, oh no, it's the proton pack. I was like, wait, What?
It's your new favorite move, Professor. That's what we've gotten to.
I kind of liked it. It happened so fast, though. I was like, what? Just hold him on the back and then kick him in the face? Okay.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
What?
Yep. They are always experimental with it. I love that. And I do love that it's best friends versus the Bucks going into it. I kind of wish that it could have been Undisputed Kingdom. It would make more sense being an ROH fan and they have them do that to the titles. But of course, the ROH champions are going to get ransacked on AEW TV. So may as well do it to the best friends who at least took care of them.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a shame. But yeah, I agree. But great match. Like, I had fun watching it.
Yeah. I would watch it again.
Some cool spots in here. But again, like, there was nothing that ever made me turn it off. The bar was set so high, and I'm still willing to watch. Yeah, let's keep going.
But as we sit at the end of the match, we then have the EVPs come out to stare down their opponents, and this is where commentary made sense for me. Taz, you were on for this. I will give you your flowers. That elevator is really expensive, and they keep using it at least twice more. They got to get the money's worth out of it. Come on.
I kind of love that they had the sort of early 90s hip hop entrance. EVP at the VMAs, just coming out from the thing, huge shoulder pads.
The Cody Vader.
Ladies and gentlemen, color me bad. Like, oh, okay, I know exactly what you are. Oh my goodness.
The In Living Color Dancers.
So, yeah, meh.
All right, can I ask you something, Professor?
You can.
We have talked about genuine and heartfelt performances on this podcast before, and also in person. We've gone over how we do enjoy when you're kind of really giving it that all.
Yeah.
Kyle O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's trying to be genuine, but I think he's starting to have a problem with it. And I don't know whether he's actually doing it on purpose or it's just not landing anymore. And I want your opinion on this. Do you think that he's trying to push himself farther along that line of being sort of fake, or
I think he's, as an actor, and if it was acting teacher him in classroom, I would say he's stuck. He's kind of stuck in his arms, he's stuck in his shoulders, he's kind of stuck in his body on these promos. He's trying to feel what he felt the first few times he really landed this, and he's trying to replicate it, and in doing so he's trying to push for it instead of feel the circumstances and letting it come to himself, if that makes sense.
It does, yes.
And for anyone who's taking an acting class, that's kind of a cliche thing to say, but it's true. And that's kind of what I'm seeing. Sort of like, hey, you're trying to push for it instead of, hey, be here now, breathe into this moment, this thing. Your friends have betrayed you. You finally come back. You're watching this around. You had your first match. So, and that's a tall order when you're trying to recreate that same promo feel. This is the third or fourth one we've seen where it's like, I'm just going to sit here and be real with you. And any actor will tell you some nights you just don't feel it. It's not there. That's okay. So what do? You reinvest in what you do know and you start breathing again. What can you invest in? I can invest in the environment, I can invest in the circumstances, I can listen. And this is we haven't talked about this a lot, but this is why promos can be super hard.
Or you look at the improv promo from this week's WWE where it can be easy if you're doing that and you have scene partners that play with you.
Absolutely right. Absolutely.
I watched his eyes throughout this entire thing, and I'm going, you can see when he becomes the deer in headlights, like, oh, crap, I don't feel it. And I wished for him. I thought in my head, I'm like, just turn and look at Renee.
Right.
Renee's there to keep you. He stayed right on camera as he was told to do. And I could hear Roddy Strong in his ear going, don't have personality. Just use your eyes.
Just freeze your face.
Freeze your face. Use your eyebrows if you have them, but don't do anything. And nothing. So don't listen. Don't listen to Roddy. Kyle, I know you're not as promo savvy. Check in with Renee.
Right.
Have her give you that wink she gives everyone when she's that warm, loving, supportive person, and you'll be fine. You can do this.
Right.
Or make the choice not to. But one of the two.
I would agree. Yeah, I absolutely agree. Lean on who's around you, and there's a little bit of. I want to know how many takes they do of some of these promos or if they're just rushing them. Because this felt to me like it could have been take one or take 35. Like there was a sense of like, I've done this so many times. Can I go home now?
I'm trying to remember the line I have to say.
Right.
Damn.
I mean, that could be a little bit if they're scripting these, which we're never going to know. Some wrestlers love working off the cuff. Some folks want to have a script. Fine. But again, I just think he's stuck physically. He's kind of stuck into it.
Don't listen to Roddy. We'll cut from him, though. We'll go over to the other promo. No, actually, that was at the end of the night because we went to our main event. This was a pretty quick one. And, you know,
we're flying. It's 35 minutes in. We're already talking about the main event.
Wow. Well, we have to because all of these matches kept our attention. We didn't take as many notes as we were watching.
We didn't take notes.
But, and I took notes, but I didn't go at all of them. But the thing here was I had thought at the beginning of the show, the first match could not be topped. That was the main event. Should have been the main event. My match of the night. Still is my match of the night after this. But, oh, God, watching Swerve and Takeshita run each other into the ground and completely blow the Quebec crowd away, somehow get Don Callis over as a sympathetic figure, and bury Taz at the same time. This was a really well-put-together segment.
Oh, yeah. If I tend not to pick matches of the night, but if I had to pick one, I love that Ospreay-Shibata match. This edges it slightly for me just because of what you said. You had the folks had to break character to acknowledge how good what they were seeing, they were seeing. Like Taz saying, like, I don't see many five-star matches. Don Callis saying, I'll give it to Swerve. That's a tough guy. I still don't like him. This guy should be managed better. Like, yeah, you have to acknowledge what you're seeing. I really want to watch it again and take notes and stuff. But this is, again, this is another one that's on my short list. Like, yeah, I got to go rewatch this at the end of the year because it was gorgeous.
They worked each other over so hard. They took care of each other. They got all their offense in. The Blue Thunder Bomb was there. The, you know, house call, all that stuff. The standing cave-in to Takeshita when he dropped his head. Like, he had already done the Swerve Stomp, but this was the one where Takeshita was running at him as he caved him in.
Yes. Yeah.
The man was fluid as heck. The move underneath to get under his leg into a back suplex. And Takeshita is already more fluid. How do you make Takeshita less fluid? You put him up against Swerve. Swerve is much more fluid than Takeshita.
Which, even saying that out loud, Swerve is, but in... when you think of that, you kind of go, oh, well, I think they're both. But then you see them together and you go, just how do they complement? Whatever. Swerve adds an extra move to each thing.
He does.
And it's by choice and it's his body and it's finding that fluidity, right? Doing that shouldery roll thing into picking up for the suplex, the reversal thing. Oh, my God. The extra
over
jump
the
on
top
the,
rope hurricane rana off the thing? The rope
to get the thing. There's this extra little hint of something every single time. And the fans know it. I don't know if Swerve gets the credit Swerve should get for adding those little accents and those little things. But
here's something this literally popped into my head about this. Swerve is like the Penn and Teller of wrestling.
Sure.
So confident and amazingly smooth in his abilities, but also will show you by adding those flourishes in, like, here's how the trick is done. Here's how I get from point A to point B to point C. You're never going to be able to recreate this because you're not like me, but I'm open to showing you behind the curtain and make you aware of it.
Right. It's like, I'm going to show you how this trick is done. And then you see them do it and go, that's still magic though. It's like, what? Like, it spoke for itself. I'm trying to find a moment here, but there was an exchange of shots that was just echoing to me. Like,
oh my
those
gosh.
Are just,
yeah, it was
play, it like chops partly the audience is dumbfounded, silent, but it's also like, ooh.
Well, the dueling headbutts, the headbutt off the top that Takeshita gives him, and then the rising headbutt he gives him back.
That weird, whatever that sideways 540 thing was, that's
the float over, yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, whoa.
Talk about someone who hangs in midair.
Yeah. Gorgeous stuff.
We can't talk more about this. This was such a good match, and Swerve comes out on top. Joe understands now he's his number one contender. Swerve is standing tall. We cut backstage to Joe to give his promo. I love he said, I am not that man. I am not the man that backs down from you. You are in my world. They're going to be a dynasty. This is going to explode. This needs to be when Swerve gets his title. It has to be
so?
At this point. It has to be. Swerve cannot lose to Joe at this point. He has built up this momentum. He is still carrying on, but you can feel because he's leaning into the babyface side of himself now. He's losing the traction he had before where he was the underdog. Like, this is the time. Strike when it's hot. Joe is still great, but Joe, it's halfway through the year. We've got to get him going. I don't know.
I could see that to a degree.
Okay.
I agree with you, but like we say around here, if it makes sense, they're not going to do it. I think they're going to let the Samoa Joe thing ride a little bit longer. They're going to make Swerve wait, which makes me sad. But I agree with everything you're saying. I think the Swerve has not... The last three Swerve matches have been ridiculously good. And coming into 2024, it was undeniable. The man drank another man's blood. Like, this stuff is happening. I don't see Samoa Joe losing the title still so soon. The title reign hasn't been super, super long.
No, it hasn't.
But at the same time, like, if you don't do it now for Swerve, when do you do it? Like, what do you...
I look at it as Joe originally probably wasn't supposed to hold the title that long. Like, as much as that, like, I love what he's been doing with it and he's earned it.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be transitional to get it on Swerve, and it hasn't happened yet. That being said, if we wanted to extend this a bit further before Dynasty or anything else, if you want another five-star match, why aren't we getting Swerve versus Ospreay?
Swerve Ospreay would be... Has there ever been a Swerve Ospreay?
Not that I know of, unless they met each other in Lucha Underground, but I'm not sure. I have to look that up.
Swerve Ospreay would be... I mean, that would blow the roof off the way they work together.
That's an all-out for me, right there, an all-in. You do that.
That could be if we're building towards that title. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would give us what, 4 months or so?
4 month build?
That would be a blast.
I mean, because you've seen him against Takeshita, you know what he's capable of.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. And we've seen Ospreay Takeshita. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see Samoa Joe losing it so soon. But at the same time, I agree. Like, when else are you going to do it? Because you don't want to alienate the fans even more. A lot of folks are still upset that Swerve hasn't gotten a shot, a real one yet.
Right. Pull the trigger. We've got to do it. I will say, though, Professor, the last thing I have written down here, my comments in the notes was, wow, they put together probably the best 2K24 My GM mode 1 week that I've seen. They booked it correctly. Started with a high match in the front. Mid match is kind of worth it, and then the closer was great.
The game's been out for 3 weeks, and we finally get a 9 out of 10 Dynamite. Coincidence?
Weird.
That's going for the YouTube short. That's the thing you got to put out there.
Well, I'll make sure Mikey knows that. But Professor, before we get out of here on this one, we've come to the end. On the empanada scale, which is bigger than the MyGM scale, what are we rating this tonight?
This is my first 9 out of 10 Dynamite for the year. I've been hovering at 8 and 8.5 and 8.8 and kind of wavering here and there. Even the promos that weren't so great didn't last an hour long, but they were still pointed and got to the point. I'm going to get a thesaurus and change the way I say things out loud.
You mean a book with other words in it?
Book with other words in it. Renee was great as always.
Mary?
Samsonite. That was way
Samson.
Up. It was just so much fun. And our review was so fast because we kind of didn't take notes. We were watching how fun this was and how great this crowd was, even though the commentary didn't help at all for some reason.
But emotionally, it left us wanting more. I felt it the whole time, which I haven't in weeks.
This kind of had matches that should have been on pay-per-view cards. Like, these were marquee things that were here. I think the only reason it's not 10-10 is because there is no 10. There's only one women's match. There's one or two promos that left me a little meh, and commentary meh, but if you had added 20 minutes to this, one more killer match, cut a promo, that's...
maybe a Toni Storm match?
A Toni Storm match? A Toni Storm comedy sketch? Toni Storm pretending she's Judy Garland beating someone to death with a wire hanger? Amazing! That would have been a 10.
Well, it's good to hear because I'm also this one. Now, I'm basing this off of the fact that I have only ever, out of anything we reviewed, given a 9 out before to ROH.
Okay.
I thought that was a perfect wrestling show. This is my first 9 of any Dynamite I've seen. This is also a 9 for me.
Hey!
Even with the fact that I have to take points off or partial points off because it was one women's segment,
sure,
it was so well done, I can't take the full amount off for it. So I will stick with a 9. Same thing you said. I was emotionally invested. Now I want to see if they can follow this up. You have to watch this.
Now, here's the curse of Dynamite that we've talked about. Every time there's something ridiculous high-rated and we all agree, the next two in a row kind of go, not even close. And what's worse is sometimes those are the go-home shows, which is kind of the situation we're in now.
We're hoping not. We're going to hope that they keep it going, because my conspiracy theory, they are leaning into the fact that they're going to make themselves different from WWE right up until the last minute.
You know, that's got to be what's happening. That's kind of grown on me, and we'll see over the next few weeks. I think you might be onto something. They got to change their direction. We've heard about the money problems. We've heard about the ratings. We've heard about all that stuff. We've heard about the mess that Fight Forever is in right now with the DLC and whatever else. So AEW needs a win, but in the sense that they're using the talent to pull through, that's the high road, and it's harder. But if it's this consistently, they can do it.
And for all of us that watch it, we have an alternative. We can watch different things and not feel like we're watching the same product every day of the week. That's what we need here. And as we say that, this is coming to the end here. Professor, I've enjoyed talking with you about this. I enjoyed watching it, too, to be able to be here with you. It's been amazing out there, BC WrestlePod fam, for you to be there with us as well. And for all of you new viewers, you made it through the end of it. You got to the part where we say to you, we enjoy having you here. Sacrifice to the Blood Demon. And remember that when you do, you are... What, you didn't remember about the blood sacrifice we have to do at the end of this to make sure we get good views on the algorithm?
Oh, right. I'll do the shirt thing.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Because as you can see, the professor's biconic, you are all biconic, and we're all biconic together here at BC WrestlePod. We'll see you in the next video.
All hail algorithms. All hail. All hail. All hail. All hail.
Oh, gods. Nice. I love it. That's definitely going to be the blooper. If you're okay with that.
Thank you so much for tuning into another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.